You're listening to Andrew Haunt's Rock Revival with me, Andrew Haunt. I used to write for Powerplay Rock and Metal magazine, the national magazine here in the UK, where I used to interview rock stars and review albums and gigs and stuff like that. And I've done it for websites and things like that as well. As you may be aware, I miss doing that if you're a regular listener to the show, and I wanted to carry on doing it. So here I am talking about classic and obscure rock and metal albums throughout the years. So on this episode, I'm going to talk about an album which, again, as with a lot of these albums, is very special to me and very dear to me in many ways. And this is Adrenalize by Def Leppard. Now, I'm from Sheffield. You may not be able to notice it in my accent. I know the accent isn't particularly strong, but I am from Sheffield. And thus, I've grown up around Def Leppard, being aware of them as hometown heroes, seen them live many times, I've seen them in concert in some of the most pivotal moments in my development, but I'll get to that sort of thing later. I'm going to talk about this album here here today. So Def Leppard, they got their start in the late 70s, built up their following throughout the early 80s, and went crazy, crazy popular with the album Pyromania. Of course, after that, 3 years after that, I think it was 3 years, came Hysteria, one of the most absolutely definitive rock albums of the 80s. There's no denying it. It was massive. It was a genre-defining classic in every way. It's polished and wonderful, and the songs are great. The production's amazing. It was a proper perfect storm of an album. Eventually, that was followed by Adrenalize. But by the time Adrenalize came out, the band had gone through even more turmoil. Of course, famously, drummer Rick Allen lost his arm many years ago in the 80s, which led to him having to use a modified electronic drum kit and relearn how to play the drums in a different style. And that in itself was an enormous challenge that would have destroyed many lesser bands. But for Def Leppard, they kept going. They didn't turn their back on Rick. They kept going. Another tragedy would befall the band in 1991 when guitar player Steve Clark would sadly pass away from complications relating to alcoholism. That was a huge blow to the members of the band, of course. They'd lost their bandmate, they'd lost their guitarist, but above all, they'd lost a friend. You know, this was someone that they'd spent years with, they knew intimately, and I can't imagine what that's like losing a close friend like that. As the band aside, it was the friendship that would matter more to me than anything else. And what the fans lost was an incredible talent, a very talented guitar player, talented songwriter. He did leave some demos behind for what would become the next Def Leppard album, Adrenalize. As far as I'm aware, he was part of the writing for 8 of the 10 songs that were on the album. And his style is all over them, even if his guitar isn't on the final recording of it. So following Steve's passing, the band continued as a four-piece for a while, and it was as a four-piece that they put together Adrenalize, carrying with it a similar polished production to Hysteria, some suitably bombastic songs, but a little bit more of a straightforward rock album feel to what came before with Hysteria. Adrenalize was massive. It sold something in the region of 7 million copies. Bear in mind that not long before it, Nevermind had come out by Nirvana and changed the musical landscape forever. But Def Leppard, along with acts like Bon Jovi and such like, still managed to do something special with their albums that came out at the birth of the grunge era. And Adrenalize, it couldn't have been any more of a Def Leppard album. It was absolutely spectacular. Oh, I see here in my notes that Steve Clark has writing credits on 6 of the 10 songs, not 8. I do apologise. I stand corrected. Adrenalize itself is an interesting album. It's an extremely positive album that was put together in dark times. And the band have gone on record to say that they are an escapism band, and they needed the escapism just as much as the fans did when they were putting together Adrenalize. And I totally understand that. For me, Def Leppard are hugely important. You know, with them being from Sheffield, I instantly was drawn to them. I love their sound. I love the polished sound, what they're famous for. I love the harmonies, those wonderful backing vocals, the huge songs, the drama of their ballads and the excitement of their up-tempo rock songs. There's just something wonderful about them. Joe Elliott's voice, it's spectacular. Everything about them, it really spoke to me when I was developing my love for rock and metal in the early days. And Adrenalize was an extremely exciting album. What was even more exciting for me around the time was the Adrenalize tour. It was called the 7-Day Weekend Tour. And that's where I saw Def Leppard at the start of the tour and at the end. Before that, though, once the album came out, they did reveal that they had a new second guitar player to carry on where Steve had left off. And that was, of course, Vivian Campbell, formerly of Dio and Whitesnake, and an extremely incredible guitar player. It wasn't just in Dio and Whitesnake as well. There was things like Shadow King and all kinds of stuff that he'd been up to. But yeah, it's mostly Dio and Whitesnake that he was known for before Def Leppard. And he came on board and was revealed at the Freddie Mercury concert, at the Freddie Mercury tribute concert, one of the most iconic things that ever happened in music. Honestly, that concert was incredible. It was like 80,000 people in the stadium and over 1 billion watching it from home around the world. Now, that is how you make an entrance. And Vivian Campbell did a great job on that. But this was after the album Adrenalize had been made. So Adrenalize had been made as a four-piece. So Joe Elliott on vocals, Phil Collin on guitars, Rick Savage on bass, Rick Allen on drums. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It opens, of course, with the absolute anthem that is Let's Get Rocked. Yes, it's cheesy as heck. It's got lyrics that were pretty much completely inspired by Bart Simpson, as far as I'm aware. And it's a delight from start to finish. The video hasn't aged very well with the rudimentary CGI that was used in it, but by God, that song is fantastic, and it never fails to bring a smile to my face. It was a great big single, a huge anthem for them. It's still popular today. I remember the two times I saw them live in that part of their era. I saw them at the start of the 7-Day Weekend tour for Adrenalize in the Round at Sheffield Arena. And at the end of that tour, I saw them at the legendary Don Valley Stadium tour. And that was a brilliant, brilliant day, brilliant times. I really enjoyed everything they brought to the table. I was much more a melodic rock person than a grunge person. I can certainly appreciate some alternative rock, and you know, everyone that knows me is aware of that, but I was all about Def Leppard for a very, very long time. So Let's Get Rocked opens the album in huge style with a great big fist-pumping anthem. That's followed by Heaven Is. Now, Heaven Is was a single as well, and to my mind, it's the most AOR-sounding song on the album. It also is a bit more of a Hysteria feel to it. It's one of the moments on the album that feels a bit more like Hysteria, which is just, it's fantastic. It's 3 minutes 33 seconds. It's a melodic, upbeat song, and you know, it's got all those Def Leppard trademarks. That is followed by Make Love Like a Man, the cheesiest single I think that Def Leppard have ever put out. I think it is. Did they release Women? I can't remember. Yeah, they did release Women as a single, but I still think Make Love Like a Man is way cheesier than Women. The single, it's a great song. It's a good pop song, as well as being a good rock song. The video is much of a muchness. It was just a performance video. And I think, to be honest, that Make Love Like a Man, it was tongue-in-cheek, but I don't think that the public and the media really saw it that way. I think they were taking it at face value, which is, come on, it was a very tongue-in-cheek song. It was a bit of fun and not intended as a serious statement at all. Hope not, anyway. That was followed by track 4, Tonight, a beautiful ballad, very much in the Def Leppard vein. I did feel it was missing Steve Clark's touch of guitar on Tonight, but Phil Collin does a spectacular job as ever. That was followed by White Lightning, which was written by Phil Collin, Joe Elliott, Mutt Lang, and Rick Savage. 7 minutes and 3, and it was something of a tribute to Steve Clark. And from what I understand, it was sort of a follow-on to Gods of War from Hysteria. And it's beautiful. It's enormous, enormous, epic Def Leppard song, and I think it has a little bit of a progressive edge to it, just with some of the things that go on in there. It's theatrical, it's massive, there is a huge chorus, and I remember clearly seeing them during the In the Round show at Sheffield Arena on the 7-day weekend tour for Adrenalize, where Joe Elliott raised his hand to the heavens and said, "This one goes out to Steve Clark." And the place just went nuts. So this continues. Originally, I had Adrenalize on tape. I love cassettes. And so side two started with Stand Up, Kick Love Into Motion, which was, I believe that was a further single as well. Yeah, that was a single, December 1992. It's not the best song on the album. You know, there isn't really a bad song on the album, but it's not the most memorable song on the album. It's a pretty, not sugary. It's, I don't really know how to describe Stand Up, Kick Love Into Motion without sounding like I'm knocking it. I'm not. It's a great song. It walks all over a lot of other bands' material, but it's not quite at the same level as the rest of stuff that Def Leppard are capable of. That's followed by Personal Property, which is a bit more of a straightforward rock song. Again, like Stand Up, Kick Love Into Motion, I see why it wasn't used earlier on in the album. It just doesn't have the immediacy of the other material. However, this goes back to extremely high quality with one of the greatest ballads ever. A really heartfelt rock ballad in Have You Ever Needed Someone So Bad. If there ever needed to be a textbook example of a perfect rock ballad, honestly, I would say is Have You Ever Needed Someone So Bad from Adrenalize by Def Leppard. It is perfect. It's 5 minutes 24, and it is an absolutely perfect ballad. It does everything a ballad should do. It's got the huge memorable chorus. It's got a wonderful melody. It's got a really nice sentiment. It's just everything. And that is followed by a nice return to the fun party rock of I Want to Touch You, which, again, is a straightforward party rock song. Hard rock, melodic, uplifting, good sing-along chorus. The album comes to an end. Instead of like a big overblown ballad moment, the album comes to an end on another high point with Tear It Down. Fantastic tune. Tear It Down's a great song. 3 minutes 38, it ends the album on a pretty much perfect high. There were a couple of bonus tracks that were going around, such as Miss You in a Heartbeat, which showed up on Retroactive later on for a wider audience, and She's Too Tough. Both great songs. But yeah, Tear It Down is the actual album ending, bringing the total runtime for the album in at 45 minutes, 22 seconds. There isn't a weak moment. It's not quite the career-defining masterpiece that Hysteria was, but it is absolutely brilliant in pretty much every single way. It's something I've carried with me for a long, long time. Ever since the early 90s when that came out, and I really latched onto Def Leppard in a big way, they've stuck with me throughout my whole life, and I'm really grateful for that. Eventually, when I was writing for Power Play Rock and Metal magazine, the opportunity came up to interview Joe Elliott, and I barely finished reading the message from my editor, Mark, before I sent a message back saying I need to do this immediately. This was in support of Viva Hysteria, which was the Blu-ray set of Def Leppard's Las Vegas residency, where they played Hysteria basically in its entirety, and they'd also done an opening set as a different band and played covers or some of their lesser known stuff. So that sounded really exciting. So yeah, I'm totally up for that. And so I got to sit down and interview Joe Elliott, but this wasn't like a lot of the other interviews I'd done for the magazine, because instead of it just being me on my own in a room with a phone, I thought, I know I need someone with me for this, so I asked my dad to join me. Now, the reason for that is my dad had always been there with me in my early years of getting into rock and metal. My dad taught me how to play guitar. It was my dad that, at the height of my obsession with Def Leppard, drove me around our hometown of Sheffield on a Def Leppard pilgrimage. And we visited the places where they grew up, the places they played their early shows, places they'd rehearsed, and all kinds of things like that while listening to Def Leppard in a car, in my dad's car. And there are photos of me at like 14 years old pointing at plaques outside buildings while wearing a Def Leppard shirt that I'd got at the In the Round show. And it was my dad that I was there with at Don Valley Stadium in 1993. They're getting sunburnt down one side of our face while watching Terrorvision, Ugly Kid Joe and Thunder open up. And then the glory of Def Leppard's headlining set, which is just beautiful. The whole thing, the gig is on YouTube. It's also available on lots of official releases from Def Leppard, but just check it out on YouTube and then buy the official one, because you're going to want it in your collection. It's brilliant. So yeah, I thought I would ask my dad along. So I had my dad come over. I got the computer going, got all the recording software going, and gave Joe a call. And I was a bit worried, to be honest, before I spoke to Joe Elliott. I was wondering if he was going to live up to expectations. Now, I think my expectations were, I just hope he's down to earth and reminiscent of the people from my hometown. Sheffield is a very down-to-earth place. It has to be. It doesn't really have a choice. So he answered the phone. He was lovely. It was immediately like talking to an old friend. I'd said to him, I'll just let you know, Joe, that my dad's here, because he's a big fan and we've been big fans for many years. I hope that's all right. He's like, yeah, no problem. Absolutely. Thanks ever so much. You know, and then we had this wonderful chat all about, actually, before I go on, before we started the actual interview, Joe says to me, yeah, it's fine that your dad's there. Where are you from? I said, I'm from Sheffield, mate. He says, I thought so. Which part? I said, I'm from Hillsborough. And he said, ah, the wrong end, or the right end, if you're Rick Savage. And that's a reference to the football team Sheffield Wednesday and Sheffield United in Sheffield, if you're not aware of that. Not a football fan myself, to be honest, but I got the reference there. But Joe was beautiful to talk to, extremely nice person to talk to, really interesting, very open about things like the hardships the band had been through for so long, and really interesting about all the things they've been up to since then. It was great to reminisce with him, and it was great to be able to say thank you for things like the Don Valley show and the music that the band had provided us for so many years. At the end of the show, at the end of the interview, I did say to my dad, you know, say hello to Joe before we go. And my dad said, hello, it's Martin. I love you. I think you're brilliant. And Joe Elliott was really nice and understanding with it, and was more than happy to say hello to my dad. And it was just a nice experience. And I'm really grateful for that. I'm really grateful for what they have always been. And I'm really grateful that they never gave up. They're a great testament to the human spirit of just not giving up, no matter what life throws at you. And I think that's a wonderful legacy to leave behind, as well as albums like Hysteria and indeed Adrenalize. So thank you very much, Def Leppard, for everything that you've provided, everything you've given. You've always been there for us. We'll always be there for you. I'm Andrew Horn. Thank you ever so much for listening to this edition of My Rock Revival. Enjoyed this episode of Andrew Horn's Rock Revival, as does me, please do think about subscribing. I would greatly appreciate it. You can also find this podcast on YouTube, on my YouTube channel, where you can also find my shows Planet Hex and a bunch of other stuff actually that I've done on there, including my full-length feature film The Demon and I. Please do consider checking these things out. I really enjoy making them for you. And if you've enjoyed this episode of the Rock Revival show, please do feel free to share it with your friends. The more the merrier. I look forward to rocking out again with you very soon.